WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. President Trump's promised tariffs are now in effect. 25% on goods from Mexico and Canada, 10% on imports from China.
They can't come in and steal our money and steal our jobs and take our factories and take our businesses and expect not to be punished, and they're being punished by tariffs.
I'm Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London. After yesterday's falls on Wall Street, stocks on this side of the Atlantic opened down this morning over President Trump's tariffs order and the growing fears of a trade war. China's essentially said, bring it on. Canada's already slapped 25% tariffs on more than $20 billion worth of U.S.-made goods.
And China says it will add a 15% tariff on U.S. farm imports starting next Monday. Ukrainian officials say the country needs concrete security guarantees from the U.S., Europe, and G7 countries a day after President Trump stopped all military aid there. Brown University international relations expert Nita Crawford says more help will have to come from overseas.
It may be that the next step is for the Europeans to develop a more independent approach to supporting Ukraine.
White House officials say they don't know how long the freeze will last. Some encouraging news on Pope Francis from the Vatican. The latest update says he's no longer in need of mechanical help in breathing, but he is getting supplemental high-flow oxygen. This follows a rough day yesterday. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
The Vatican reported the pontiff suffered an acute respiratory crisis on two separate occasions during the day, caused by a buildup of mucus. Doctors had to aspirate it from his airways. The Vatican said that, quote, the Holy Father has remained consistently alert, oriented, and cooperative.
It's Fat Tuesday, and the thought of canceling Mardi Gras parades in New Orleans, well, that could be compared to canceling Christmas for the rest of the world. That said, high winds will at least scale down the celebrations. WWL's Dave Cohen is there.
The Mardi Gras party isn't canceled, but high winds and severe storms have led authorities to abbreviate the parades here in New Orleans today.
Carnival is a very important cultural event for our city. And so if I can accommodate and do it safely, I am going to try.
Police Chief Ann Kirkpatrick.
SpaceX says it will try to launch its huge Starship rocket from South Texas this afternoon. Yesterday's launch was scrubbed, but the company did announce that it's almost ready with a second Starship launch site and plans to launch from Kennedy Space Center later this year. Wall Street S&P futures down a point and a half. Dow futures down 18. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. Bucks guard Kyle Kuzma dealing with a sprained right ankle after accidentally stepping on the foot of Giannis Antetokounmpo during Saturday's game in Dallas. But Kuzma pleased they've won six of their last seven games.
We're moving in the right direction, and we've had some hiccups. That's to be expected, but you know, I had a coach in the past. He's always said that the regular season is just rehearsal for the playoffs. That's just the approach that we kind of have to have, and obviously you want to win, and every game is going to have a different challenge.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Reds 5-4 in Cactus League action. Left-hander Aaron Ashby had to leave the game with apparently a strained oblique muscle. The Brewers have signed veteran lefty Jose Quintana to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers agreeing to a two-year deal with linebacker Isaiah McDuffie, worth around $9 million with incentives. McDuffie, a sixth-round pick for Green Bay 5 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some fun moments during Sunday's Oscar broadcast included Queen Latifah looking like she wore a parachute to the event during her nice tribute to Quincy Jones. There was also Adrian Brody, who won his second Best Actor Oscar for his performance in the nearly four-hour-long film The Brutalist, and his acceptance speech was almost as long. There was Timothy Chalamet, who some thought was the odds-on favorite for Best Actor, dressed in a bright yellow pantsuit. Luckily, it's Hollywood, and the people around him were already wearing sunglasses. It's always exciting when history is made at such a big event. Nora writer-director Sean Baker won 4 Oscars for the film, becoming the first person ever to win 4 Academy Awards for the same film. The critically acclaimed director took home trophies for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture. He is also the film's producer, and he won an Oscar for Best Editing. Nora was the talk of the night, as lead actress Mikey Madison won Best Actress, giving Nora 5 Oscars out of 6 nominations. Not a bad Sunday. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with rain developing this afternoon, up to 48 for a high today. Rain will change to snow tonight with snow continuing through much of Wednesday. 4 to 6 inches of accumulation possible with strong 35 to 45 mile per hour wind gusts creating blowing snow through much of the day Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
Peach Wabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan and filmmaker Craig Knitt, who joins me in the studio. That's right, folks. He's going to fight Green Bay traffic. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, March 4th, 2025. Nice to have you along. Couple of guests coming up in this hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll hear from filmmaker Mary Mazzio, whose documentary about the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa taking on Enbridge and an aging oil pipeline. That documentary continues to get screenings around the country, including a couple this week up north, and so Mary will give us an update. And then we'll talk to our friend Luann Bird coming up at the bottom of the hour. A former legislative candidate, she remains active in her community, especially now as a voice against the punishing, damaging, harmful budget cuts being made to veterans' health care in Wisconsin and around the country. So we will talk to Luann all about that coming up in just a bit. Another reminder that Up North News is having its first ever live event. That'll be in Madison next week, Wednesday the 12th, from 5:30 to 7 at the Overture Center in Madison. It will be a panel discussion about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. There will be 3 different panels with experts, many of them guests on the show here, talking about reproductive rights, talking about education, talking about jobs in the economy, and the way this state Supreme Court could have an impact, positive or negative, depending on the outcome of the April 1st election. It will wrap up at 7 o'clock, just in time to become a watch party for the Supreme Court candidate debate. To learn more, head to upnorthnewswi.com/supreme. Register for tickets. They are free, and we'll provide a live stream option as we get a little bit closer here as well. But the thing that's getting closer right now is weather. Like, yeah. Serious wet, like wet, heavy weather. And Brittany Merlot is here to tell us just how wet, how heavy, how bad, how windy, how icky, and then how quickly it's all going to melt, so it doesn't matter anyway, right,
yeah.
Brittany?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, gosh. it'll matter a lot for the next, 36 hours. So
pretty much.
Pay attention.
Yeah, we've got a mess headed our way. The good news is, the best news is that it's hitting the Northwoods mainly. It's staying away from the big cities, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay even. You're going to miss most of this. So this is hitting into the Northwoods. We are looking at blizzard warnings into right near La Crosse, where winds could reach up to 55 miles per hour as the system hits. We've got winter storm warnings all the way north of La Crosse, over towards Medford, in towards the Rhinelander area, and all the way north to Lake Superior. And we've also got winter weather advisories out as well. So what's going to be happening here is, this morning, we're already seeing the moisture start to move in. It's very, very light rain moving across the state on and off on occasion. But the bad news is temperatures are already below freezing into places like Antigo and Superior, and also towards Ashland, too. So be careful out there for some freezing rain, slick and slippery spots. But everywhere else is above freezing across the state. We're in the mid to upper 30s to low 40s right now. We are looking at a bunch of fog, though, in towards central Wisconsin. Spotty light rain still moving through. And what's going to happen is as we go into this afternoon and evening, that rain is going to start to ramp up, become widespread by tonight, and really downpour into the overnight hours. And this is also when it's going to start to flip over to the snow. Now, what it's going to do is could be sleet and freezing rain before it's all snow. So a layer of ice is definitely possible underneath this accumulating snow. And we're going to start to see this happen around noon into Lake Superior, South Shore areas, Ashland. It'll become more widespread, starting to mix in towards Hayward, maybe the Eau Claire area around 7 to 8 o'clock tonight, in towards Park Falls, Rhinelander around 10 p.m., and then overnight, 2 a.m. or so, Wausau, La Crosse, and then 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's when pretty much the whole state is going to see some snowfall, even in towards the Fox Valley, even towards Milwaukee and Madison. And that'll be kind of, you know, later on in the day. So it's not too much of an accumulation there. Really, the cities are just looking at less than an inch of snow. While into the winter weather advisories, you're looking at about good 3 to 5 inches of snow. And if you're into the winter storm warning, you're looking at over a half a foot to nearly a foot of snow into some spots. And I do think the hardest hit area is going to be the Eau Claire Chippewa Valley.
Oh, great. Yep. but then, I mean, it's not like it's going to hang around till Memorial Day or anything like that. We've got the warmer temperatures yet.
We still do. We climb right back above freezing. This is going to start to melt away. The sun comes out on Thursday, Friday, and even into the weekend as well. So it's not going to be a big, crazy, long-lasting, sticking around snow, but it is going to be hard to clear because it's going to have that ice. It's going to be heavy and wet, slushy and sloppy. So shovel and shifts, take your time, be careful out there.
Again, please be careful out there. This is one of the last ones. It's wet, it's heavy. I have in the past thrown out my back on the last wet, heavy snowstorm of the year. Other people, you know, it could be an issue from a cardiac standpoint. Be careful out there. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. Rain in 33 degrees, 0.2 of an inch of rain overnight. The weight limits go up Monday morning, March 10th on most Shawnee County roads. That is a sign of spring. I got the same thing here in the town of Eagle Point for Chippewa County. You got your seasonal road limits that are coming up. And then Rob passes along a little news here that Bill Jartz, news anchor at Channel 2 in Green Bay, is retiring from WBAY after 42 years. Started out as a sports anchor in 1983, became a news anchor in 1998. Also the public address announcer at Lambeau Field for Packer games. He was a sportscaster for Channel 7 in Wausau, born and raised in Clintonville. So congratulations to Bill Jartz for a wonderful career. He also, Rob notes, it's starting to get a little foggy there in Tigerton, which is not unexpected given what we've got out there. So,
sure,
Rob,
forgot to mention too, so much rain, we're going to see some flooding, and some of those rivers could start to break up that ice, and ice jams are definitely possible. We're looking at 1 to 2 inches of rain.
So much to pay attention to. And Brittany, thank you for doing it for us. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good day.
Have a wonderful day. Remember, you can sign up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. A fun story in there this morning because it is Fat Tuesday. And so for a lot of bakeries around the Badger State, this is their top selling day of the year with, for example, the bakers at O&H and the Racine area. They're making up to 30,000 punchkies today that are going to be consumed. A wonderful delicacy, a kind of a richer dough filled with fruit or custard or jelly, maybe topped with icing or some powdered sugar or granulated sugar, and just a nice indulgence for folks who celebrate the season of Lent that will get started tomorrow. So Christina puts in a number of places where you can get punchkies today in our newsletter. Again, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. You can also get our weekend edition, our Sunday morning politics newsletter with its question of the week. And the responses are continuing to pour in about what to do about the Trump, Elon Musk, budget cuts, the wrecking ball that's been taken to government services. And again, a variety of responses on that you'll be able to read about in the newsletter next Sunday. coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network today. Let's see. Todd Alba is previewing President Trump's address to Congress tonight. He also has this afternoon, What's Worse, a Taco Tuesday edition, and his Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers at 12:30. On the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, Dan Schaefer comes in for a visit. So does Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin, talking about what the tax vote will mean in the 1st and 3rd Congressional Districts. Also a visit with Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley. That's all with Maggie Dawn today. And then on the Dom Salvia Show, Professor Harvey Kay is guest hosting. And tonight on the Pete Schwab program, Nightlight, Appleton-based stand-up comic John Egan and filmmaker Craig Knitt. And then finally, Matt and Air on Air, coming up from 10 to noon today, includes, it says here, Mr. Bach, one, Allison Madison, Wisconsin Saltwise, reducing and managing salt pollution in Wisconsin's waterways.
Not only that, but at 10:30, we've got the one, the only, P.J. Kreitlow.
Oh, I know him. That's a good get.
Good get. Very good get. Hard to get, too. I had to go through four managers, and all of them were the wrong call, I found out.
I know. It's tough. You really can't afford this guy. But somehow you managed to land him anyway. So
we're just lucky to have him.
I'll prattle on with Jane coming up at 10:30 this morning.
Talk about punchkies.
Oh, yes. I mean, I got to find out if I can get some around the Chippewa Valley. I honestly don't know.
How far are you from Norsky's Nook? That's far, isn't it?
Well, I mean, down to Osseo or up to Rice Lake.
Yeah.
A couple of good locations there. Yeah. You're right. I should check into this.
Yeah.
I have some thoughts. Okay, good. In our next segment, we're going to be talking to Mary Mazzio, a filmmaker, about the Enbridge Line 5 construction, a pipeline going through northern Wisconsin. And I have a note here, a press release from Midwest Environmental Advocates that says on Friday, an administrative law judge issued an order extending a hold on construction of Line 5 while a legal challenge is brought by Midwest Environmental Advocates and its partner organizations. Midwest Environmental Advocates is challenging state permits and other regulatory approval for Enbridge's controversial plan to build a new 40-mile segment of its Line 5 oil pipeline near the Bad River Reservation in northern Wisconsin. By way of background, if you're not following the story closely, now again, the Bad River itself flows into Lake Superior. And right there on the watershed, just east of Ashland, is the Bad River Tribal Community. And many decades ago, Enbridge put an oil pipeline through the reservation. The easements for that have since expired. And so the company is not exactly there legally and is now looking to build a new pipeline. They know that the Bad River community won't let them go through the reservation anymore. And so they're planning to go around it. But it still takes this pipeline, an oil pipeline, through this sensitive watershed where Enbridge pipelines have ruptured before, not in the Bad River, but in other places like Michigan, where it's wreaked havoc on the environment. And so the Bad River, Midwest Environmental Advocates, and others are challenging the construction of this pipeline. And so part of that struggle has been captured by filmmaker Mary Mazzio in a documentary called Bad River. And we'll talk to her a bit about some of the firepower behind that documentary, the folks who've been promoting it, and how all these months later, there is still demand for screenings, including a couple of screenings up north this week and screenings in other states. So we're going to hear all about that. And then at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Luann Bird more about the wrecking ball that's being taken to federal programs and its impact on the health care for Wisconsin veterans. That, Chad Holmes, and so much more still ahead here on this hour of Up North News Radio. Live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Follow what we do over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. We'll be back in just a bit.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that? The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
We're squad about that one.
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
We're squad about that one.
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Thursday evening in Superior, the high school is hosting a screening of the documentary Bad River, being sponsored by the school district's Indigenous Family Engagement Coordinator and the American Indian Education Parent Advisory Committee. The film hits on themes of heritage, community, and the environment as the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa fight to get an old but still operating oil pipeline removed from their land, even as Enbridge tries to put a new line outside the reservation, but still in a position to cause an environmental catastrophe where the Bad River empties into Lake Superior, a little east of Ashland. Filmmaker Mary Mazzio's project can be streamed on Peacock. It'll also be screened on Tuesday night at Nicolay College in Rhinelander. We talked to her extensively about the film last year when it first came out. And Mary Mazzio joins us now. Mary, hello. How are you?
Pat, nice to see you. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you again as well.
It's been a while since we last connected.
I know, and at that time, you put together this documentary. It received all kinds of great reviews, was in theaters a little longer than maybe originally expected. And since that time, it has certainly not gone away, with more screenings, this week in Wisconsin. But I also see on the website for badriverfilm.com screenings coming up yet in Tennessee, in Maine, in Oakland, California. What has the ongoing response been like, and how are you dealing with it?
You know what? Thank you for that question. And honestly, I think the story of the Bad River Band and their resilience and commitment has been transcendent. Just a couple months ago, the film was nominated for 3 Critic Choice Awards, right? So you know, as you might remember, we had Jason Momoa and Leonardo DiCaprio and Edward Norton, Mark Ruffalo, right? All putting our trailer on their Insta feed. And this has just served to really, I think, raise awareness of this fight and battle that the band is waging to protect Lake Superior in a way that I think so many people may not have been aware of. This, the Bad River, as you know, had filed a case over an aging pipeline, now at risk of rupture, of course, that had the terms of the pipeline's ability to operate had expired. So they're illegally on Bad River land at this point in time. And the case, which was decided by a federal court judge in Wisconsin, Enbridge, the pipeline operator, you must vacate by 2026. which, by the way, is next year.
Mm-hmm.
He had given them 3 years, right? He made that finding in 2023. The case was appealed up until the Seventh Circuit. And you might remember, I think you and I were talking about the time that happened. A decision now more than a year later has not yet been issued. So I think everyone is on pins and needles as to whether the Seventh Circuit in Chicago will uphold the lower court ruling that Enbridge must vacate the premises. So that's the state of the state. Enbridge, of course, has pursued a reroute alternative, and they are in the middle of getting that permitted. So that is what's happening.
Well, and don't forget the big change since we last spoke, and that is an election and the impact of that. And I'm wondering, again, while this is an active case in court, but now with Donald Trump in the White House rather than Joe Biden, what that may have done, not so much to the attorneys, they're going to continue pursuing the case, but to members of the Bad River, any advocates of this, if they see that as an ominous sign for a pipeline that, you know, will or won't be relocated or stopped anytime soon.
You know, I think it depends upon how the new administration may view this. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a group of Americans fighting for an American resource to protect future generations of American citizens. And effectively, it is over a pipeline, a Canadian pipeline, that by and large just simply transports oil from Western Canada to Eastern Canada with some marginal benefit, but almost no tangible real benefit to American consumers. So here you have a group of Americans trying to protect America. And there's something really interesting and resonant, I think, about that story. And I think you and I talked about this before. Mike Wiggins, the former chairman, characterized this battle as one of patriotic duty and civic duty to this country, that with increasing extreme weather, that Lake Superior, which is the largest freshwater by surface area resource in the world, will be drawn on by Americans from east to west. And, you know, here you have this small band of Native citizens fighting tooth and nail to protect that resource from a catastrophic spill. We continue to receive incoming requests for both private and public screenings. So that remains sort of an active piece of what we're doing as well. And we're seeing many Bad River members that will travel with the film. Bad River elder Joe Bates is just back from a tour in Canada, where several communities hosted Bad River to apparently jammed audiences. And so the film, I think it's not the film, it's the message of Bad River Elders continues to move forward in ways that I think doesn't matter whether you're on the left or the right, doesn't matter how you feel. This is not a story about oil. It is a story about a piece of infrastructure that serves another country that no longer has the right to operate. And I think everyone can understand sort of that simple, elegant framing.
Especially putting so much of our fresh water at risk. Bad River is a nominee for Critics' Choice Awards for Best Political Documentary, Best Narration, Best Historical Documentary. It was the winner of the 2024 Best Documentary Film by the Environmental Media Association. And perhaps most notably for, you know, your baby book, it was the answer to a crossword puzzle, 41 down. So not to trivialize the impact of the movie, but you are definitely having an impact.
Well, thank you for that. And I had no idea that that our film was the answer to 41 down in the New Yorker crossword puzzle until my phone blew up. And I was like, wait, what? And so part of me is really thrilled that the message and voices of Bad River Elders are sort of now in the cultural zeitgeist, if you will.
That's fantastic. Mary Mazzio is the director of Bad River. You can learn more at badriverfilm.com. Mary, thank you so much for the update. It was great to chat with you again.
Oh, Pat, nice to see you again. Thank you so much for the opportunity and greatly appreciate it.
Well, you're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's maple syrup season in Wisconsin. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And in Anago, Jim Adamski is busy. He owns and operates Adamski Sugar Bush, and he says that while the weather is one element that they have to worry about, tariffs are another. Adamski explains how Canada influences Wisconsin's maple syrup price.
So the syrup price is really based upon, you know, syrup that's produced in Quebec. And really, it's the syrup price that's set by the Production Federation in Quebec. And then we take our dollar value, and it's the exchange rate of American money to Canadian money that really dictates the price of maple syrup in the U.S. You know, so with tariffs and everything that are going on, it's really hard to say how it's all going to play out, because if the Canadian dollar stays strong, it could bring a stronger dollar for, you know, maple syrup here in the U.S.
Jim Adamski from Adamski Sugar Bush in Anago, where maple syrup season is underway. Adamski hopes that he'll be able to stretch the season into April, but he said that all is dependent on the weather. They need daytime temperatures in the 40s and 50s, overnight lows back in the 30s to extend their maple syrup season.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Goldlight provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
And the judges get busy today as the U.S. Champion Cheese event starts at the Rush Expo Center in Green Bay. More than 2,414 entries for them to make their way through. The general public is welcome to observe the judging and do a little sampling free of charge today and tomorrow from 10 until 3. The U.S. champions will be announced on Thursday at 2 o'clock. Follow all the details at uschampioncheese.org or their Facebook page. That's a look at food news on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Today's weather forecast is brought to you by SureTight Construction, raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. There's no job too big or too small. Find them at SureTight.com.
Cloudy with rain developing this afternoon, up to 48 for a high today. Rain will change to snow tonight with snow continuing through much of Wednesday. 4 to 6 inches of accumulation possible with strong 35 to 45 mile per hour wind gusts creating blowing snow through much of the day Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years. They specialize in residential and commercial projects, from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you calling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll talk about Secretary of Defense Hegseth requiring a What Did You Do Last Week list from civilians. And Luke Mathers is in for Tuesday Tangents. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
there are so many ways to look at the way that the new administration, the new regime has been approaching its own government. And perhaps one that's most disturbing is the approach that it's taking toward our veterans and the health care that they need, the promise that this country made to them. Whatever you think about past wars, past policies, whatever the case may be, everybody is in agreement of taking care of our veterans when they come home. And that's a lifetime promise. And yet it's a promise that is in peril because of recent cuts made by President Trump's partner, Elon Musk. Lou Anne Bird is instrumental in fighting that and calling out attention to all that, all the damage that can be done here in Wisconsin, including close to home for her. Lou Anne Bird, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning. I'm good. Thank you. It's great to be having coffee with you and all my friends out there.
Yes. I mean, look, it's been, you know, it's been a hot minute since the election ended and you were running for a seat in the legislature, and a lot of candidates, when they're done, they, you know, simply move on to other things. You were involved in the community before being a candidate. You continue to be involved after that election cycle.
Well, that's right. It never was totally just about an election for me, but I could see a downslide in our political world. And I thought I need to get in there and try and help make things better, more in the partisan world than the nonpartisan world. It was just a shift. And yeah, so I'm not running. I'm not in Madison, but it also frees me up to have a lot of time to work on issues like our veterans care, which is personal to me, very personal, because my husband was paralyzed 35 years ago, and he was, as a result of a PTSD-related construction accident, served in Vietnam back in 65, 67. So the VA has been taking care of us for 35 years, and I am still trying to find all the fraud that's happening at the VA, because in my world, I'm not seeing it. All I'm seeing is a shortage of staff. They couldn't even keep the whole spinal cord wing open here at the Milwaukee VA because they don't have enough nurses to do that. So, yeah.
This is an area that was already rife with labor shortages of all types, as we know about healthcare overall, rural healthcare, veterans healthcare, any kind of general practice healthcare, you name it, there's a shortage. And so for, you know, Elon Musk and President Trump to, you know, take a wrecking ball to all federal spending in the name of something, so rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse, I think, Lou Anne, you and I would agree that even though neither one of us necessarily voted for President Trump, we know that a lot of people who did were probably not expecting this wrecking ball approach, and we're expecting something more business-minded, you know, more examination, you know, a scalpel rather than a meat axe.
Well, that's right. And I am, yeah, that's right. And although I don't know, it's hard to say I shouldn't say that. When I knocked on a lot of doors, I did hear a lot of things from a lot of people, what they cared about. And in the end, this is what they chose for. I do think there's a sentiment out there that quote, government is too big and that there's a lot of fraud. That's just because the Republicans message it that way. And it's all in the name of, as you can see by their behaviors right now in Congress, it's in the name of tax cuts for the wealthy, tax cuts. So we're just going to cut taxes by taking away benefits to the veterans, by taking away benefits to poor people, the Section 8, they're going after Medicaid right now. And that's alarming people that are living in those low-income housing units that are very worried. They're feeling like they feel like they're being buried alive, frankly. We're all living under these nervous times about what are we going to wake up to tomorrow? Who's going to be gone in our world, in our little medical, even at the VA hospital? Who's going to be gone tomorrow?
I'm glad you mentioned Section 8 because it allows me to get on my soapbox for a moment here. As somebody who benefited from Section 8 low-income housing, being raised by a single mom, 7 years old when my parents split up, single mom with four kids, one of them disabled and who would later pass away at the age of 9. And, you know, Dad wasn't any kind of a high income earner as well. And so whether it was those food stamps or Section 8 housing that kept us from living out of a car, it paved the way for, you know, my siblings and I to get an education, to go to college, to pay much more back in taxes than ever was handed to my mom and the rest of us through those housing vouchers that enabled us to keep a roof over our head. And that's where I see this demonization of low-income people in Section 8 housing. I'm not going to tell you there are no bad apples, mm-hmm. but to paint with such a broad brush and to keep every one of those struggling families feeling like they're somehow less worthy, that they're somehow a waste of government money, Luann, you can see how that really sticks with me, and I think sticks in the craw of a lot of families who are just trying to do their best.
That's right. When it becomes personal and you've experienced it, that's why I like to tell my story. That's why I really got on the bandwagon about the VA, because I didn't think people knew what was going on there. And it was good because I put my story out there. I talked about the doctors and the nurses I talked to, getting the letter to resign. Let's be very clear. You got to read the letter, folks. You got to stay informed about this stuff, because it's easy to like, sort of justify, oh, that's not really what it said. But it did. It said, it starts with, these are the principles you got to live by now. And we're asking you to, you have the choice to resign. Should you stay in your job? There is no guarantee your job's going to be there in the future. So that's what we are living under right now. And when I heard that my doctors were experiencing that alarmed us. Now, why? I feel like my husband's already was, put his life in danger for our country. And then you turn around and now they're putting his life in danger. And it's Elon Musk doing it. It's the danger. The threat is from in our own country, and the threat to people with disabilities is there right now. The threat to low-income housing people, as we've talked about, or people that are on Medicaid. There's just threats everywhere right now. And Pat, I'm going to challenge you. It's easy for us to say, I'm sure there's fraud somewhere. I don't agree with that statement at all. I think that's just placating what they're trying to do. Because if there is fraud, we hear those stories. They catch it. So I'm not convinced that there's really any fraud. It does happen, but we catch it.
Yeah.
So there aren't, quote, bad apples out there. There's people that try things and they get caught because the system is set up to do that. Right, Pat?
Yes. And unfortunately, the people who aren't getting caught, and especially more so now with this new administration, are the people who are skipping out on paying their taxes, for example, who are fabulously wealthy, or who are getting massive tax handouts. Tesla, for example, Elon Musk's company. Elon Musk is estimated he and his companies make something like $7 million a day in taxpayer handouts for their companies. If we're going to be looking at waste or fraud or abuse, getting at somebody who may or may not be, you know, double dipping with a modest benefit check versus somebody who's skipping out on millions of dollars owed for the ability to make a profit in this economy with the freedoms and the infrastructure we provide, this is a no-brainer for me, similar as it is for you. So I'm glad to hear you call it out, you know, quite that way.
Right. We have to, we can't buy the lies that are being told to us. And we have to stand firm on, it's personal for you. You tell your story. It's personal for me. I tell my story. And then we get out there and we make sure other people become informed, because I do believe the public good is served. You know, we have to figure out ways to combat what's going on. So we're going to be at the VA again on Friday morning with a protest, or not a, it's a rally in support of the federal workers, particularly the VA, Friday at 4:30. At the Milwaukee VA. So I'm happy to be doing that, but we got to be doing more. I'm also making calls every day to my legislators. Like last night, as soon as I heard that they pulled the funding from Ukraine, I was on the phone to Ron Johnson's office. And don't, you know, he's got like five phone numbers. So keep going. If one's full, call the other ones and leave your message, because we've got to put pressure on these folks to stop the damage happening at the federal level. Stop Trump and stop Musk from taking over everything. You know what, Pat? I'm just going to shift for a minute. Locally, here, we know that Musk is coming in and trying to buy this election. And I have seen flyers, because of course I'm out knocking on doors again. I have seen flyers on the doors that say, Susan, Judge Crawford will stop Trump's agenda. So tell me why. She's never been a political operative, but we all know Brad Schimmel has. So I'm also organizing in my area. We're thinking, what can we do? So we're taking to the streets to inform people. We're holding up we're making our own little series of signs that are, you know, highly effective, because they'll only have one or two words on it, like women's rights vote Crawford, you know, like, you know, civil rights vote Crawford, safety vote Crawford, because we have to get the word out there that she's not what they're painting her to be. She's a mom. She does not let rapists and, you know, out in the streets. So,
well, but that's what we see with every Supreme Court race. I mentioned it even before this race got started. I said, no matter who runs on the progressive side, they're going to find some way to bring rapists and pedophiles into this, as if that's what Supreme Court justices do. Supreme Court justices make sure that people and entities and companies abide by the law, or they do the things that let certain people and companies skip out on the law. And that's really what's at stake in this election. So when people say, well, you know, what does one thing have to do with the other, Trump and all the spending cuts and the state Supreme Court race? Well, I mean, all the more reason why we're putting on this live event next Wednesday is to help people connect the dots between these very important issues, as opposed to having a Supreme Court that would essentially rubber stamp anything that Donald Trump wants. Anything. Remember, three of these conservative justices on the court right now indicated they would go along with Donald Trump's false 2020 claims of voter fraud. They would have delayed Wisconsin election results in 2020 to hear a case that had no evidence. So, Lou Anne, for you and others to, you know, be involved in this Supreme Court race very much has a connection to what we're seeing at the VA and elsewhere right now.
That's right. After I lost the election, Pat, I saw a need, and Trump got elected, I saw the need to bring people together with shared values in community. So I sort of evolved from bird on a wire to birds on a wire. And we've been meeting now every week to both support each other, share our anxieties, and then share our actions. Like, what can we turn it into action? What can we do about it? So that is how this sign thing evolved. And there was, it evolved to all these people that some of them knocked on doors for me. And there's a lot of new people just showing up, and we're going to take to those streets. And that all happened because we're organizing. We're coming together every week. It's odd. We're turning out to be at 3 o'clock on Saturdays and meeting at Open Flame right in the middle of Hales Corners. But it works. You know, it's what we got to do to make it through this time. Not only that, we're not going to sit back. Remember, there's just a couple years ago, you know, 4 years ago, we won the presidency. So we're going to be able to take this back. It's how much damage, especially when people realize that their costs are going up, their health care is being cut, and the wealthier are getting richer on tax breaks. So we're going to be able to turn this around. But in the meantime, we got to make sure that we keep fair maps in Wisconsin. And that's why the Supreme Court race is so important right now.
It's what keeps you busy, and it's why we appreciate the updates so much, Lou Anne Bird. Thank you very much for visiting with us, and keep active. Keep us in the loop on what you're doing to keep elevating the voices of folks looking to bring a little sanity back to our government.
You bet. And I encourage everyone out there to, you know, don't stay home. It feels much better to get in there and take action, even if it means a phone call or showing up at your Democratic Party meeting, something. Do something to get involved.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Lou Anne. Again, have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. Thank you, Pat.
You bet. And boy, when Lou Anne talks about, you know, tax breaks and things like that, you know, there was a comment online about Elon Musk paying $11 billion in taxes. That was a one-time thing based on selling off shares of Tesla. By and large, he's paid nothing in taxes, and Tesla has skipped out on billions, despite billions of dollars in income, has paid $0 in tax cuts or in taxes, period. You want to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse? Let's have a whole discussion on Elon Musk alone. Back after this, you're up north.
He's still a soldier. 93.5 The Tap. There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In our last report, we explained how Executive Order 14215 claims presidential authority over the FEC and other independent agencies, putting fair elections at risk. Manipulation of the FCC, which sets broadcasting rules for political advertising, could also impact elections. Until 1987, the Federal Communications Commission followed the Fairness Doctrine, ensuring equal access to the airwaves and balanced coverage of candidates. The Communications Act of 1996 protects reasonable access by qualified federal candidates and equal time opportunities for federal, state, and local candidates. While it no longer reviews ads for accuracy, it still prohibits censorship of candidate-sponsored ads, requires the paid-for-by disclosure, and mandates records be available to the public. What if those rules were ignored? Extremist control of the FCC could revoke licenses of broadcasters who disagree with the administration, as threatened by Trump against NBC, ABC, and CBS in recent months. It could allow broadcasters to pick and choose their advertisers, potentially silencing competition. Unequal enforcement could tilt the playing field. In short, a partisan takeover of the FCC could impact election fairness not only for the 2026 midterms, but for years to come. We have more on the FCC's role in elections at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Chad Holmes Show is coming up next on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. Every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. You can also catch it through the Civic Media app. Chad is with us now. Chad joined us during the commercial break as we were going through the spicy comment section on Facebook today, all about whether Elon Musk pays his taxes or not, and so much more. Mr. Holmes, how are you?
Doing good. And I
feel like Pat just like threw kerosene on you. Was like, Chad, how are you doing?
I don't know whether or not to mention this because
do it.
Last week, and you talk about comments, and I'm probably giving oxygen to this. There is somebody out there that really, really, really doesn't like me. Really does not like me. So he decided that on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I shouldn't even say this because then people think, oh, this is how you get to get them. But there's, you know, you can go to the website and there'll be a contact me. And this guy just kept on all through my show, like every 2 minutes, based on anything I say, twisted it around, said some very nasty things.
Yeah, and I would direct you to the Facebook page for today's show, where it's real time commentary, which is why I want to share a positive comment first from Alicia to please let Luann know that this veteran appreciates her advocacy for my brothers and sisters in arms. And the thing is, Alicia, we do. We know that. For all that we talk about, you know, what is negative out there and what is confrontational, let's make this clear. We know the goodness of many people and how service-minded they are, whether they serve in government or just serve in their communities or serve in the military. And it is because we believe in that inherent goodness of so many people that we're willing to stand here or sit here day after day, whether it's comments in the section or emails or politicians saying ridiculous things, and stand up for things like facts, science, truth. You know, we do these things not just for a paycheck, but because we actually love living here and we love the people that are here doing all these good things. And it's why I still consider this an honor. And I know it's why you enjoy what you're doing every day.
Absolutely. And I frankly, I think we go through the same ups and downs that the folks that are tuned in, and I think there's a connection there that, you know, some days you see what's going on, and it weighs down on you. I mean, I said to a guest yesterday, I said, you know, it's been State Senator Kristen Alfheim. She was on yesterday. I said to her, I said, you know, she's been in office now 2 months. I said, man, it feels like it's been 2 years, really. And I'm not kidding there. I mean, the last 2 months have been difficult, and I try to keep in mind that if I'm feeling that, I know that there are people that probably feel it even more because they're affected even more.
And how they are. How can it not? When you read about all of the, you know, packets of peanut butter, high nutrition peanut butter that would save the lives of starving children overseas, are being left in warehouses undistributed while people are starving right now. It's not saving the taxpayers a dime, not saving money. And so when you think about it, you go to the end result of the children who don't know where their next meal is going to come from. The veteran, like Luann talked about, who now is going to have to wait longer or their doctor is no longer available. Of course it weighs on us, and it comes out sometimes in sharper commentary than we might like, but that's why I like to remind people, we come back to the roots. We come back to the roots, and that is, you know, good people, and when good people serve in government, government does good things. This natural tendency to be cynical and negative about government is rooted in people who want to see government fail because then they get better tax breaks. They don't have to follow environmental rules and things like that. Stick to the good folks, and it's what motivates us to continue doing what we do.
I would go take it one step further, because there are people like I'm gonna guess the people on the live stream comments of any of our shows who are saying we're wrong or, you know, full of whatever. They're not benefiting from tax. They're not billionaires and millionaires. The problem is they just want to be right. And when they get to be right, they're so excited about that that it doesn't matter that their lives are impacted by these actions by the government as well. While you and I, we're all waiting for the impact of huge cuts, they're going to be blindsided one day when they realize, oh, I'm part of this too? Okay, now well, what?
It's certainly what we're seeing now in all the little short video clips of people going, I voted for Trump, but I never thought I'd lose my job at the VA or wherever. And, you know, I'm not wallowing in their misery and their surprise, but I'm also not surprised by their surprise, Chad, if you know what I mean.
And by the way, there's one aspect to those stories, and you're exactly right. We've seen a lot of those kind of stories out there. One aspect of it that concerns me in a sense is I wonder if that person, if, you know, their position has been eliminated or something along those lines has been lost, if the person down the hall would have lost it, would they still have been saying, darn right, I still agree that Donald Trump is cutting down on the wasteful spending and the wasteful government jobs out there. One aspect that I've always appreciated by the best people that are public servants is the ability to put themselves in the other person's shoes. Not to have it, only if it happens to you does it matter.
Well,
and
here,
there's a little bit way too much of that where these stories, oh, it affected me. Well,
I'll show you exactly what I mean on screen here. Here's George again saying, this was back when Luann was talking about veterans not getting care. And he writes, I voted for Trump and I expected exactly what is going on. This is what he said, and I agree with him entirely. And that's what plenty of other people say until it happens to them or somebody close to them. And then let's see if they put that same comment up. Chad continues this conversation and more coming up next on 98.9 WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Mr. Holmes, thank you. Have a great day.
You too, gentlemen.
Mr. Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air, and they're even letting me in the door. Woo! Coming up in 10:30 or so. So stick around for that at your own peril. Thanks for joining us for Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom. It is a pro-democracy news network, and you can find out what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. See you tomorrow morning here up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the Earl Ingram Show, Dr. Anthony Eastry to address the attacks on social services. Later, I have a very special guest who will join us.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's promised tariffs are now in effect. 25% on goods from Canada and Mexico, 10% on China. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger has an example of how it affects Americans.
Prices for U.S. car buyers are expected to rise by about $3,000 on average as those newer cars come onto lots.
Ukrainian officials say the country needs security guarantees from the U.S. a day after the president froze all military aid. University of Sydney's Marco Durante says the impact will be big.
We look at military spending alone. The U.S. has given twice the amount that the Europeans have, in addition to critical intelligence assistance as well.
Better news for the Pope comes from the Vatican. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
He is no longer using that mechanical ventilation. He's back to using nasal tubes and high-flow oxygen.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.